Matthew chapter 21. So in Salt Lake City about 20 years ago, well, maybe more than that, but anyway, we had a lady in our church that used to sing specials all the time. And I had at that time become a staff member there, and I used to sit in one of those two chairs during the service in Salt Lake City. They were in the same place. And if you think it's easy to sing a special, I got to notice in this lady one time. And she's standing up there, and she's been singing specials over and over again, and her knees were shaking. It's not easy to sing a special, amen? So good job, Andrew, and learn when you're young and serve God your whole life. Matthew chapter 21, I do want to welcome. I have one visitor's card for Nancy Lundquist. Nancy, where are you located? So good to have you here today, yes. And April's back too, amen? Amen, good to have you here. And Andrew's family, and the Lord's here, amen? Amen. And that's the most important one, but we are thankful to have all of you here today. Thank you for being with us this morning. Matthew chapter 21. I was talking to a fellow this week, and we're talking about the Bible. And he said he has a hard time understanding parts of the Bible. I do too. The Bible is a book that takes a lifetime and more to understand, and the Spirit of God's got to help you. But I always remind folks of what Mark Twain said. He said, it's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand that bother me. And this passage today is so easy to understand. It is very easy to apply. But then it bothers me. And I'll tell you why here in just a little bit. So Matthew chapter 21, let me kind of remind you from, if you weren't here last week, what's happening. In the beginning of chapter 21, the Lord Jesus Christ enters into Jerusalem, and it's a triumphant entrance. It's the last week of his ministry. It's just a few days before he's going to be crucified. And he knows that. Just about nobody else does, but he knows what's coming. He knows all things. And so in this last week, on Sunday, we had what we call Palm Sunday, where he came in, the people put the palm leaves on the ground, and then at the end of that day, he went out into a village, which is just up the hill, up the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem. It's a place called Bethany, and he spent the night there. And so now, this is the next day, and don't be too worried about Mondays and so forth, but it's in that last week of his ministry. And there are many good lessons that are going to be taught, and we've got a ways to go. Here we are in chapter 21. The crucifixion won't happen for another few chapters, but a lot of good teaching here. And again, this is something easy to understand, easy to apply, but then it's very, very meaningful in our lives. Let me ask you to stand. I'm going to read Matthew 21, verses 18 through 22. And we'll ask God to demonstrate his power through the Word of God today as we open the Bible. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 21, I'll read out loud as you follow along silently in verse 18. Now, in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. And said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, without you, we know that we can do nothing. But this morning, the Spirit of God, using the Word of God, can speak to each person here in this room. And I pray that you would guide my thoughts, allow me to say just what the Bible says, and to lead us as we learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ and more of what he would have from us in our lives. Help us to understand that each thing that's done here today is meant to honor you I pray that we would do that in spirit and in truth. Thank you again for each one here. I pray for those folks that are ill, that are away from us, that are recovering from illness, that you'd care for them, keep them safe. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We sure do like verse 22. Verse 22 in Matthew chapter 21 says, "All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." And we'd like to jump right down there and spend some time there in that verse. But before we do, that's verse 21 actually. Nope, 22. Before we do, I want to show you the things that really set that up and make that meaningful. And it starts back up here when we began reading in verse 18, where the Lord, it's the next day, and he enters into Jerusalem. And the Bible says in verse 18, he hungered. In verse 19, he saw a fig tree. I think, Joey, you guys in your yard have got a nice fig tree. And I was kind of impressed. His grandfather is a tremendous gardener, and he's got a nice yard and beautiful green grass. And a fig tree is a tree that's, it's kind of hard to grow out here because of the heat, but they've got a really nice looking fig tree in their yard. Fig trees have got a really big, beautiful leaf. Now, as the Lord comes into the city on this day, he sees this tree and he hungers. And as he looks at the tree, what he sees is the leaves, and it's a beautiful tree and it's got plenty of greenery on it, but no fruit. And just as simple as we see here in the passage, the Lord looks at that tree and he says that because there's no fruit, that no fruit would ever grow on that tree, and it instantly withers. You say, "Well, Pastor, what in the world does it have to do with me?" Let me see if I can't show you some things in that regard. We moved here in 2016, and I bought a tree down here at one of the hardware Lowe's or Home Depot, somewhere like that. And I put it in a pot, and I had it on my courtyard in my house. And in the June of 2017, I remember it really well, I came home one day. That tree was looking good. It had a good-sized ball of leaves on the top, and it was not a fruit tree, but it sure was a good-looking tree. I was looking forward to having it get bigger and bigger. And I came home one day, and it was one of those days when Phoenix, where the weather gets up to about 125. And I looked out in my courtyard, and there was not one leaf left on that tree. That thing died. And it just, one day, went from green to nothing. And I learned, when you have a question, you get on the internet, right? What's going on with my tree? And come to find out, when the roots of a tree get to a certain heat, the tree just dies. It literally just quits growing. And I thought, well, maybe it'll come back. And I watered it and I messed around with it. Nah, it never did come back. Finally, I wound up having to cut it up and put it in the trash can and throw it away. The Lord comes to this tree, it's a fig tree, and he hungers. And let's just think about that for a minute, that expectation that the Lord had. Now, how many of you have got fruit trees in your yard? I do too. And I'm looking forward to, I don't know, what time will it start, Brother Mendez, November, December? All of a sudden, there'll be bags and bags of lemons out there in the church foyer. Because everybody's got a lemon tree that produces. I think I still have about 10 quarts of frozen lemon juice in my refrigerator or my freezer. But we've all got lemon trees, and they produce a lot of fruit. A grapefruit tree. Last year, I got one grapefruit off my grapefruit tree. And I'm thinking, I wonder if that tree's really worth the space it takes up to produce one grapefruit. Hope I'll get more this year. We lived in Salt Lake City, and we had some apple trees. And the first year we were there, we got a lot of apples. That was kind of nice. The next year, no apples at all. What's going on here? I found out later that apparently some apple trees only produce every other year. But if you had a fruit tree in your yard, you expect fruit. Now, I like shade trees. Praise the Lord, in Phoenix, we've got shade trees. Amen? And a tree with no leaves is a dead tree. But a fruit tree with nothing but leaves is just as good as dead, because it's not there to keep the sun off of us. It's there to produce something that we can enjoy. All right, here we go with a little application. You and I, in God's eyes, are a sort of a tree. Now, first of all, let's talk about leaves. When you When you have a tree and it's got leaves on it, you know some things about it. That tree is alive. And it has, hopefully, the ability, if it's a fruit tree, to produce fruit. And if it's growing and it's getting bigger and it's getting more leaves and you see the new growth on there, you think, yeah, that tree's doing pretty good. Maybe it's going to produce some fruit. You and I, as individual Christians, we have some leaves that we produce. I think, for example, the health that you have and the prosperity that God gives you and the very fact that you could come to church today, there's a certain amount of leaf in that. It's just evidence of what we would call spiritual life. When you wake up tomorrow morning, if you're like me, you're going to wake up and the Holy Spirit's going to say something like this to you. You ought to read your Bible today. Amen? And if you think you might want to mess around with some sin, the Holy Spirit's going to say something like this to you. You shouldn't be doing that. And there is that sign of spiritual life that you and I ought to have. Now, if you're just not saved and you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, you're not going to have those kinds of leaves in your life. You're not going to have those signs of spiritual life. You won't want to come to church. You won't want to pray. You won't want to read your Bible. But when you get saved, and oh, by the way, let's just make sure we understand that last song. We stand on the promises of God here. Let me read one of them to you from memory. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. There's no doubt about that. You can doubt it if you want, but it's a true statement. Someone says, well, I want to be saved. What do I have to do? Ask the Lord to save you. Amen. Now, there's a little more to it than that. Understanding is what I'm talking about. We need to understand something that we're saved from. We're saved from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. The Holy Spirit would like for us to be saved, and so He works on us, and we have to make a decision. Are we going to live in sin, or are we going to ask the Lord to save us? And when the Spirit of God comes into you, He's going to change you. And it's a process. It's not an instant. There's some instantaneous to it, but there are also some processes that take place. And so the Spirit of God is going to produce these leaves in your life, this desire to read the Bible, which is a good thing, and this desire to go to church, and this desire to pray, and you're going to find out you're going to be in trouble somewhere along the way, and you're going to ask God to take care of you, and He will. I was reading the Psalms when I was sick and really am enjoying still the early Psalms, right around Psalm 23 in that part of the Bible. And just amazing promises that God makes to us. That's evidence of salvation. But let me make things really clear. Leaves aren't enough. The signs of life that a Christian would exhibit, the changes that God makes in your life, that's good. And that's salvation, amen? But God's looking for some fruit.
Amen.
God's looking for some fruit. There's the word used here, if you look back at verse 18 in chapter 21, it says, He hungered. That's a desire. That is something that cannot be fulfilled with good wishes. There needs to be something substantial. I hesitate to mention lunch because about a half an hour from now, we're going to get to eat, but you'll be thinking about food for the next half an hour. And before we go off to lunch today, but if I went home today and my wife says, yeah, it's lunchtime and I really am thinking how good chicken would be and really am thinking about how good some noodles would be and some vegetables and so on, and let's just think about it. No, that's not enough. I want to eat it.
Amen.
I want the real thing. You and I, as born-again Christians, ought to, the Lord is hungry for, His expectation is that you and I would produce fruit. Not just leaves, but fruit. What is fruit? Let's think about that for a minute. You take a seed, and I did this one time when I was a child. I used to like to plant things, and I got an orange, and I got a seed out of that orange, and I put it in a coffee can. Back then, coffee always came in those, you know, different size cans, and coffee cans were easy to come by. And I put some dirt in that coffee can, and I put that seed in that coffee can, and I watered it, and I watered it, and I watered it, and nothing happened. And I finally thought, well, this isn't going to work. And I put it under my bed. I don't know why. That's where kids put things. They don't want them anymore, I guess. Look under your kid's bed. You'll find all sorts of fun things. And I put that thing under my bed, and I forgot about it. And some time went by, weeks, months, I don't know. I looked under my bed one day, and there was a little orange tree in there. It's about yay tall. That's pretty good. I took it out, started watering it again, and it grew. It started with a seed. Now, if you haven't heard the parable, the Lord said this. He said, the Bible, the Word of God, is just like a seed.
Amen.
How does a tree even grow? I don't know. Some scientists might give you some details, but the truth of the matter is God does it. But I know this. You're not going to have any more trees. There's not going to be any reproduction unless there's a seed. And when you take that fruit, that orange off of that tree or that lemon or that grapefruit or whatever, that apple, you'll notice something. Those things have seeds inside of them. Simple observation here. If you and I, as Christians, we have the Spirit of God living in us. We've trusted Christ to save us from our sins. He works in our life. There's evidence of that. We'll call that evidence the leaves. But if you want fruit, you're going to have to plant some seeds.
Amen.
Just that simple. And the Bible says this, if you sow sparingly, you just plant a few, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. My wife's gotten lately fascinated by these little microgreens. Have you ever seen those things? They're little tiny plants. Our kitchen now looks like a garden. She's got little microgreens going here and there. And if you just put two or three seeds in that container, you're going to get two or three little microgreens. But if you put a bunch of seeds in there, you're going to get a whole carpet full of them. In your life as a Christian, you need to sow a lot of seed if you're going to see some fruit.
Amen.
Now, not every seed comes up, we know that, but some of them will. And again, this is just simple observations here. First of all, we know God wants to see some fruit. And if you're going to produce fruit, what is fruit? More Christians. You're going to have to plant some seed, the Word of God.
Amen.
How do you do that? Well, you could hand out a tract. I think a better way to do it is to witness to somebody and talk to them and explain it to them. Certainly praying all the way. We're going to get to verse 22 here in just a minute. But I just want you to know, first of all, God is expecting. He has an expectation. He's hungry for fruit. And you and I are just like a tree. And the second point is this. One day there's going to be an examination. We have the expectation already. The Lord's looking for fruit. There's going to be an examination. Now, I wrote some about this in the back of the bulletin. I can't say a whole lot about it right now, but I can tell you this. One day, the Bible says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That we can give an account of the things done in this body. You can do a lot of things with your life. You can be entertained. You can make money. You can enjoy recreation. You can watch TV if that's what you like to do. There's a lot of things you can do with your body, with the energy and the strength God has given you. But just remember this. One day, there's going to be an examination. And the Lord's looking for fruit. What did you produce? Now, let's take this another direction just for a brief moment. As a church, the Lord's going to examine us as a church, just like He did those churches in the Revelation. And one thing He's looking for is fruit. Amen? We ought to be seeing souls saved. How? Keep getting that seed. Sow that seed. Sow that seed. Sow that seed. It's been a hard year for sowing seed. We've had this virus in the quarantine, and we knock on somebody's door. They don't want to talk to you, maybe. They don't want to touch you because they're afraid you'll make them sick or whatever. And one of the sad things about COVID has been it has limited churches' ability to reach the lost.
Amen.
I praise God that even this week we had some people that went out and witnessed to folks, went door to door, sowed seed, amen?
Amen.
And by the way, they saw some results. And it was this week, wasn't it? Or we before, they saw some results. Now, on Tuesday nights, which is when we go out as a church, and Saturday mornings, we all do some bus visitation also, but on Tuesday nights, as we go out as a church, if we have half a dozen people out, we can sow a certain amount of seed. Wouldn't it be great if we had 20?
Amen.
Say, Pastor, I'd be afraid to go. I think we have some people in our church that would go with you, and you wouldn't have to say a word. You could just watch and learn.
Amen.
If 5 more people came out for visitation this Tuesday night, we would find partners for them, and we'd go have 3 times as many places, sow more seed, see more fruit.
Amen.
God's going to examine our church one day looking for fruit. Now, watch how this develops here. In verse 18, it says, he hungered. There's an expectation. And I just want you to know something. As a Christian, God expects you and I to bear fruit. In fact, and don't turn there, but in John chapter 15, here's what Jesus said. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. He said, so shall ye be my disciples. What did Jesus say to the disciples? I'll make you fishers of men. In other words, I'm going to teach you how to go out and catch men, give them the word of God, see them get saved. And that's what we're all about. So the Lord expects us to produce fruit. There's an expectation. There's an examination. He saw the fig tree in verse 19, and he came to it, and he found nothing thereon. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and praise the Lord, this is not judgment day, so there's time to take care of this if you need to. But what fruit have you produced? Amen? What? If the Lord looks at your life, what's on it? Oh, pastor, there's lots of leaves. I've been making money. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. There's lots of leaves. There's lots of evidence that I'm alive. But the question is there any fruit that glorifies God? He has the expectation. He's hungry. And there's an examination that you and I, one day will stand before him. And you know what the Bible says? Every idle word will be called into account. That's a pretty detailed examination. And he's going to look at us, and the question is, what did we produce? Now, if that worries you, I've got some good news coming here in just a minute, because there's a solution. First of all, this is not judgment day just yet. I think it's near, don't you? I think the Lord's going to come back pretty quick. I hope he does. Our nation is really, really going downhill fast. And there are a lot of bad things happening, a lot of bad things that could happen. And if the Lord came back, he'd take care of all that.
Amen.
But by the way, there's this thing that we call the rapture, which the Bible says that we're going to be caught up together with him in the clouds. If you're saved, when he comes back, the Bible says in Thessalonians, he'll take us up to be with him. And it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's going to come back at the end of 7 years and rule this world for 1,000 years, and we're going to rule with him. And it's going to be a lot different than it is right now, is all I can say. But that day hasn't come yet. It may be a week from now. It may be a month from now. It may be tonight. I don't know. The Lord says he's coming soon. And that's when that examination is going to take place. And it's going to be an examination to see if there's any fruit. But then look what he says in the rest of the passage in verse 20. Look what happens. It says, when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Now, why did that happen? Because in verse 19, the Lord said to that tree, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And the fig tree withered away. I talked about the expectation. The Lord's looking for fruit. I talked about the examination. He's going to see whether you and I have fruit. There's an exclamation here. We might use the word curse. I'm glad God doesn't deal with Christians like this, but there is something here you need to see. If your life isn't producing fruit, don't be surprised if there's some withering going on. In other words, the best way I can explain this is to think of stories I know from days gone by. People that you wouldn't know, the people that I knew in Utah, for example. I've known people that God called into the ministry that didn't go. And then when you look at their life, it just seems like it's withered. There's just nothing there. I got to caution you, folks. This business of getting souls saved is serious business, and God's serious about it.
Amen.
He sent his son to die on the cross to save men from hell. And the Bible says he's not willing any should perish. And if he's not willing that any should perish, we shouldn't be either.
Amen.
So there's a withering that takes place sometimes in people's lives where it just seems like they just can't be blessed no matter how hard they try. I told you I've been reading the Psalms a lot lately, and I keep reading these verses that say things like this. Oh, here's a good one, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, I like Psalm 23, don't you?
Amen.
But you know, there's a condition there. That idea of not wanting means that your needs are going to be met. But the first thing it says is that's because the Lord is your shepherd.
Amen.
I was thinking, I saw this video one time on the internet, and some pastor had posted this, and there was this shepherd, and it was obviously in a foreign country somewhere. He's leading some sheep down the road, and one of the sheep got upset for some reason and just jumped all over that shepherd. I mean, this sheep was going at him big time. And he was all he could do to keep from getting hurt by the sheep. And the sheep kept coming back. And I thought, yeah, I know some church members like that, that sometimes they can be a little bit ornery. But let me just ask you this. If you have a shepherd, aren't you supposed to follow him?
Amen.
Amen? The Lord is my shepherd. He's responsible for me, but I'm responsible to follow him. I'm responsible to hear his voice. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Now, if I want to be recipient of that promise in Psalm 23 that says, I shall not want, I need to follow my shepherd. And there are sheep. And yes, they have asked Christ to save them, but then somewhere along the way, they quit following the Lord and they got distracted and started following something else. And they're withering. They're not going to see the blessings of God until they get back into God's will. And I don't want to live a withered life. I don't think you do either.
Amen.
So let's see what the end of the passage has and we'll be done. We're almost there. In verse 20, the disciples saw all of this, and they marveled because that tree withered away. And they're just fascinated, or they're amazed that it could happen so quickly. Now, being from Phoenix, having seen my tree wither, I'm not as surprised as they might have been. But for the Lord to speak and the withering to occur immediately, that was an impressive sight. And look what Jesus says. Not just to them, but to you and I. Look at verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now, I'm 62 years old, be 63 in December. I've never seen anybody cast a mountain into the sea. But I've seen some mountainous or some momentous things happen. I've seen some people get saved. I've seen some lives changed. And to tell you the truth, and I'm not just cheating here, but it's the truth, it's more impressive to see a soul saved than a mountain cast into the sea. Now here's where I'm going with this, and this is not too hard at all. Someone says, I sure would like to produce fruit. I know the Lord's expectation. He's going to come looking for fruit in my life. He wants to see not just that I got saved, but that some other people got saved because of me. Not just that my life was changed, but some other people drew closer to God because of me. Not just that I was the one that got the blessings of salvation, but I sent some missionaries out and some folks got saved in foreign lands and some people got saved in El Mirage and in Glendale and in the area around my church. The Lord's looking for fruit. We all agree with that. And then we say to ourselves, wow, that sounds hard. That's the end of the story. He says, if you have faith, yes, if you can ask, it shall be done, he says in verse 21. I don't have any interest in casting mountains into the sea, but I sure would like to see some souls saved. Amen?
Amen.
I sure would like to see some more bus children come to Christ.
Amen.
And let me tell you something real plainly that breaks my heart. When we reach somebody, when somebody comes into this church and gets saved and get baptized, whether it's a child or an adult, we don't want to lose them. We want them to grow. And we don't want to offend them. We want to draw them closer. And there are people that have been in church and they're not here today. And I pray for them. I know you do too. We want to bring them back.
Amen.
We want to see that fruit that God can give us. But folks, all that's going to depend on our faith and our prayer. Now, there's some things that we just believe. You couldn't talk me out of the fact, I know without a doubt, Christ died on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day. I did not see it happen. I was not even alive, but I believe the Bible. Amen. Oh, by the way, I believe the first five words in the Bible, in the beginning God created. Someone says creation. Nobody can prove that. I don't need to prove it. The Bible says it, and that settles it as far as I'm concerned. And, by the way, if somebody's been telling you they can prove evolution, they're lying to you. Because evolution is a violation of the laws of science. So when I see something in the Bible, I believe it. But you know when you really believe something is when you're willing to put it in practice? I'll give you an example. I believe an airplane can fly. But until I'm willing to get in one, how much do I really believe it? I used to skydive when I was in my 20s. And they took us out and they taught us how to put a parachute on. They told us what to do when we were in the airplane. They told us how to open the parachute. And we saw people do it. Yeah, that guy there, he did it and he did good. And that guy did it and that guy did good. But you know what? It still scared me to death when I jumped out of that airplane. And it sure felt good when that parachute opened. Now, if you ask me, Pastor, do you believe parachutes open? Yeah. How sure are you, Pastor? Well, I've done it. I ask you a question. When it comes to serving God, when it comes to producing fruit, when it comes to answered prayer, have you done it? Amen. Amen. So I've heard about it. It sounds great. The Lord withered a tree. Have you done it? You could. Amen? Amen? You know what I like about prayer? Anybody can do it. We have some young people here. We have some older people here. We have some people here that are retired. We have some people here that are just getting started and everything in between. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Doesn't matter how talented you are. Because prayer doesn't depend on you. It depends on God. Amen. And your faith. If you're going to produce fruit, you're going to have some faith. And there's going to have to be some prayer. I'm not going to teach on prayer right now. I'll just tell you this. Not one person will stand before God. Not one person will stand before God and be able to say, I could not produce fruit. Because it's just like planting that seed. I can't make an orange tree sprout out of the ground. But I can put the seed in the soil. And I can put some water on it. Paul said it this way. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Amen. But there were three people involved there. If Paul had not planted, there'd have been nothing to water and nothing for God to increase. Let's just sum it up real fast and we're done. There's an expectation. God's going to come one day looking to see what fruit you got. Amen. Then there is certainly an examination. He will look at each one of us to see what we've produced in our life. Leaves don't cut it. And there's an exclamation, and we won't have time to look at that, but if you go back into some other places in the Bible, there was, for example, there was an unjust steward. A fellow was given 2 talents, the fellow was given 5 talents, the fellow was given 10 talents. Read what the Lord said to the one that didn't produce anything. I'm not telling you you have to produce fruit to be saved, but I will say this. I think if you're saved, you're going to produce some fruit of some kind. Amen. And don't let that worry you. Have some faith, talk to the Lord, and do your part. In our backyard, it's a combination fruit tree. It's got 2 or 3 different types of fruit on it. And it's gotten so big, it's just kind of taken over that end of the yard. And then right next to it, I have a key lime. It's about that tall. It's 4 years old. And every time I look at it, I ask myself, why in the world is that thing even there? I have not gotten one good piece of fruit off of it. My son saw some on it last night. We're kind of excited. But you know, a tree that doesn't produce fruit really isn't useful for a whole lot, is it? A Christian that doesn't produce fruit really isn't useful for a whole lot. But we could produce fruit, couldn't we? Yeah. A church that doesn't produce fruit isn't worth a whole lot, but we could produce fruit by sowing the seed, by getting the Word of God out as much as we can. And folks, when you sow, the Bible says God will give an increase.